Welcome to the PSDcast with your host, Jason Lumberg with Power Systems Design. And today we're discussing one of the more interesting energy carriers, hydrogen. While demand for today is still fairly marginal with a mere 1 million tons of low emissions hydrogen production in 2023, various factors, including the demand for clean hydrogen, could cause production to shoot up. By one estimate, clean hydrogen's share of total demand could go from less than 1% today to nearly a third by 2030. Mobility and industrial heating applications, amongst others, could push clean hydrogen share to a full 75% by 2040. And here to elaborate on that is Kohler's Benjamin Rapp, whose colleague authored a piece for us called Hydrogen Power 101. So, Ben, thanks for joining us. And in a general sense, what will drive demand for hydrogen and clean hydrogen in particular in the near future?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Jason. Yeah, we certainly hear a lot about hydrogen as a buzzword right now, but still seeing a lot of challenges associated with kind of getting this up to speed and moving forward from an industrialization perspective. So, yeah, in our perspective, you know, we're looking at it from, you know, power generation, using hydrogen to generate power. And, you know, the big challenge right now when it comes to, you know, driving this demand for hydrogen, especially clean hydrogen, is really this kind of chicken or egg effect. And that's not a novel idea by any standpoint. But I think a lot of the supply side and the creators of hydrogen are challenged by kind of looking at what's going to happen with like the customer side and the demand side. And I think an approach we're taking is really to showcase viability. And again, when we're focused on the power generation space, you know, we've deployed a fuel cell system that's using hydrogen to produce electricity. And being able to demonstrate that viability helps support this kind of ecosystem, if you will, in regards to trying to build up demand and off-taking opportunities. So then these supply side players, these large industrial gas suppliers, et cetera, are able to kind of support their investment in building out more access to hydrogen.
Okay, so why has there been such a modest demand for hydrogen thus far?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying is kind of this mismatch with the demand and supply. I think the challenge then, it drives into the economics of the situation. We're seeing, you know, extreme costs compared to conventional solutions for some of the equipment acquisition to be able to use hydrogen for different things. So you have those very expensive and high input or acquisition costs. And then you add on top of that this large expense for the hydrogen fuel itself. So those two things combined, it really takes an approach from a customer's perspective, like an end user of this equipment, for example, to really take a perspective beyond just the economics and really focus on what are my, you know, value drivers beyond economics. And what we're seeing today is really a focus on resiliency and the ability to be able to maintain uptime. And that could be all sorts of things. Again, we're coming from the power generation space, so we're thinking about mission critical industries and facilities that are trying to remain operable in the event that the utility grid would fail. But this could expand into other use cases of hydrogen. We're seeing right now, obviously, a lot of interest in the heavy-duty trucking industry. I think resiliency is a key part of that business as well, in maintaining, you know, mileage and uptime with regards to transporting and logistics. So I think that's a key component. And then the other component within this and the advantage of hydrogen, at least in the space that we're participating with it, is really this localized zero-emission capability. So when we're using this hydrogen, whatever the scopes of it may be, and maybe we'll talk about that in a bit, whatever those may be in terms of producing the fuel at the local, you know, point of use of this equipment, you can have zero emissions. And that's using, you know, a PEM fuel cell, just to be specific. I think there's other cases where it may not be zero emission, but in this case, for example, with the technology that at least we're exploring, it can be zero emission. So I think you have that environmental component, sustainability component to it as well. So we're trying to look at factors beyond just the economics. And the hope is that as we're seeing more increased demand, that the supply side will also pick up. And I think again, there's a shared kind of and collaborative effect to this, and that it'll take a little bit more time. Hopefully, some of the DOE investment will also help, you know, jumpstart kind of this ambitious goal as well.
Okay, now you've sort of alluded to this, but let's dive in a little deeper. So let's talk about hydrogen's potential. What makes it such a potent energy carrier? And when it is a clean energy source, what makes it so? What makes it a clean energy source?
Yeah, so from an energy standpoint, you know, 1 gallon of diesel fuel is equivalent to 1 kilogram of hydrogen. So there's a lot of symbiosis with regards to how we approach the use of it in heavier duty applications, whether that be on the road or off the road in power generation, for example. The challenge now is obviously the volumetric energy density of the fuel. So that's really the big difference in that to enable somebody to store hydrogen, it takes a lot more square footage or space than it would a traditional liquid fuel. So I think, you know, that's really one aspect of innovation that can take place to help enable additional advancement when it comes to the use of hydrogen. And I think, you know, that other aspect of the sustainability of it is really the driver that we're seeing today. I think, you know, the aspect of sustainability and decarbonization has been a focal point for a lot of facilities and mission-critical operators themselves. And I think being able to, again, demonstrate viability with this technology and being able to actually do that. So, for example, showing the emissions data and that, you know, it truly is zero emission at the point of use solution. There's a lot of advantage to that. And again, I alluded to this before, that there are some challenges on the front end with the production of hydrogen that should be considered. But I think there's a lot of circumstances in the world, in the United States especially, where we need to take an approach to the localized emissions. And we're seeing that today, specifically with the ports segment, for example. They're usually located in city centers close to large populations of people, sometimes in people that have, you know, predominantly been, you know, forgotten about when it comes to the pollution in their communities. And I think the focus from the DOE, the focus on prospective players in industry in trying to eliminate that for those communities, this is a great solution in doing that. So I think you're seeing a lot of activity beyond just power generation, but with the trucking, as I mentioned, but also gantry cranes and other types of equipment that have known duty cycles where you can kind of test hydrogen, and they're seeing a lot of benefits to the reduction of pollution and really this whole decarbonization goal.
All right, makes sense. Well, Ben, before I let you go, what exactly is Caller's stake in hydrogen? And, you know, what are some of the company's recent hydrogen-related applications?
Yeah, well, in particular, Jason, there was a hydrogen fuel cell system that we installed at a hospital in Washington State. So that was a great demonstration, a very collaborative effort between both private and public functions, in that we enabled this community hospital to be able to, you know, build out a resiliency kind of network. So this first phase within their project was to install this fuel cell system. So again, going back to kind of my value drivers, beyond just the economics of the situation, they really focus on resiliency in that area because this hospital is supporting a very rural kind of community, and it'll serve as kind of this safety center in the event of any sort of natural disasters, et cetera, going forward, that they can count on this functioning. But then the other component of that is, how do we build these resiliency networks or districts that are sustainable in nature? And that's really, it goes back to what I was mentioning about localized point of use zero emissions technology. And that's really what this fuel cell is enabling. And then this will feed into a phase two, which is a microgrid. So we're seeing a lot of interest in these systems being used in microgrid cases. So that's really where we're placing our focus as regards to, you know, how do we take this fuel cell and scale it up, demonstrate it in microgrids like the hospital, demonstrate it at ports, supporting shore power, for example, demonstrating it at data centers, which is a huge segment when it comes to backup power generation needs, and being able to, you know, showcase the viability of this technology, as I alluded to, but then really ensuring that there's a focus with some of these forgotten systems and technologies that can eventually, you know, be replaced by this newer technology that, again, really enables communities, businesses, and other mission-critical facilities to be more resilient and be more sustainable.
All right, that sounds good. Well, thanks, Ben. I want to thank you for your time. And to our audience, thanks for tuning in and have a great day.